F2A. Number 6A.
We come today to the third vertical in our Christianity matrix. That third vertical we have epitomized as the idea of man's perfection. So we see at once, now we come to the focal point of Christianity, therefore to man. The focal point of the world is God. The focal point of the Christ was that glory of the Christ. Now the focal point of Christianity is man, and in the form of the perfection of man. Therefore, a question that always intrigues us, we all would like to be the perfect man. And therefore, one thing we have to see right away, that we can never start with the idea of perfect man. Within categorical consciousness, man equal Christianity is at the third side of the holy city, and therefore in order to arrive at man, we have to start out with the Word and with the Christ. And only then do we have a chance to demonstrate that man which is God's man. This should be a very practical rule, so that in everyday life we know that we shouldn't be too much troubled about the question, what is man in the first place, but in the first place to be asking ourselves, do I have an understanding of the Word of God? Is the nature of God something that I really understand? And then the crucial point is not to jump to Christianity, not to jump to man and deduce from what we know about God to deduce from there what therefore man must be, but to let the Christ have a chance and see that the Word has a Christ, that we are silent within ourselves, that are at peace within ourselves, and give everything back to the workings of the Christ, and let the Christ translation really bring out that what is perfect, right for us. So here we come to that focal point of man's perfection, and we have seen that the purpose of that third column as the idea of man's perfection is naturally to bring out in man the representative of God, to bring out in man that we in the human represent God to the highest degree that we can, so that we become the representative of God. Now, there are four epistles to show that, to bring out that very subject, namely Colossians, then 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and finally the three letters that John wrote. And within those four epistles, we have again an ascending thought, an ascending line of development, namely first through the Word, then to the Christ, Christianity, and science. And we see that perhaps here in this column even better than in another one. So that, first of all, we have to see in Colossians that this is a subject, that perfection of man, that we first to accept as a new faith, as a new doctrine, so that we are not refusing that doctrine. Now, what we will see at once in Colossians, again, is that the sense of fullness is coming out. Now, we had that sense of fullness before, in the Word vertical, in the Christ vertical, just as now in the Christianity vertical. But when one compares in which way this term of fullness, which we all like, who doesn't like fullness and richness and so on, but if we compare in which way that term is used, then we see at once that it is used in three different ways. Namely, in the Word vertical, we had always that fullness of God. That God, first of all, the Word of God is a Word that is full, where we read there that for of Him, which means God, for of Him, and through Him, and to him are all things. So we have a sense of the allness or fullness, but always in relationship to God. So that we first must see, well, the Word of God is the fullness of being, and that the Word of God is from God and through God and for God, and that is all. So we get the sense of the Word, God, as all. Then when we went to the second column, to the Christ column, you remember that fullness was then the fullness of the Christ, the riches of the Christ, so that the Christ was presented in its fullness, the fullness of Christ that filleth all in all. See, in the first column it was God that filleth all in all. Now it is the Christ that filleth all, and we have a sense of that fullness of Christ, the richness of Christ, the glory of Christ, that there is only one Christ, the all-sufficient Christ. And now when we come to the third column, again we hear about the fullness. But here now the fullness is focused on man. So at once we can see now we are in a completely different category. Now the Colossians is speaking about the fullness of men. Ye are complete in Christ. Again, I want to bring out how Paul always would show that man is the outcome of the Christ of the Word. So he says, ye are complete, but not full stop. Ye are complete in Christ. So we can see our perfection of manhood we only gain from Christ, and not from the statement that man is the image and likeness of God, or that man is a reflection of God. Where do we get it? By letting the Christ first work within us and have its own purpose, its own plan, its own aim, its own goal-directedness, his own teleological aim. All that we have to leave in the plan of the Christ. So this is the first thing that we will notice, that man's life is hid with Christ in God. Can you see, can you hear? Man's life, Christianity, is hid, Christ, with Christ, Christ in, where? God, the Word. He constantly shows that order, that definite order, either in a forward way, where Christ Christianity, or proving its source of Christianity, going back to the Christ, and Christ bringing back to the Word. So this is a rhythm that we will have to get into our very system, so to say, so that little by little we are not able to think in any other categorical way, and always to go right through the fourfold calculus. And see, that is a unit, that is a one calculus, though it is infinite, it's the one and only calculus of how to demonstrate the nature of God. So, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So again he says, look here, man and the glory of man and the perfection of man is established and will be demonstrated when the glory of Christ is also understood. That is the presupposition and the prerequisite, so to say, in order to demonstrate the fullness of man. Man is holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In his sight, in God's sight. We may present every man perfect in Christ. I think it's very clear. Huh? Or that he says in Colossians, that the Colossians are perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now he takes it right back from the Christ to God, to the Word. So always bringing out that the perfection of man is not something by itself. It's not a fact by itself. It's the outcome of a process. We begin to think much more in processes than just in factual statements and stating facts. We always see that everything is moving, everything is changing, everything is in a state of operative state, therefore it's always moving, and so we don't have to state facts, we have to state relationships. And that is a new way of thinking. We have been trained in our school not to think in a relationship, but in statements, in facts. And this is therefore to be overcome as an old paradigm. So at that point, for the first time in the epistles, then Paul would call the Colossians, would call them as the firstborn of every creature. You can see how he defines now man as the firstborn from the dead. They came out from that dead law of the works of the deeds and showed them that the Jewish law was just leading to death, whereas now they are firstborn. He brought them out of the deadly law of the Jews and brought them into the newness of faith in Christ. So that man is reconciled with God through Christ. We have again that triad. Huh? Man reconciled to the world through which means through the Christ. You have again Christianity, Christ, world in one order. So we have put off the old man with his deeds. And so we see the new man rising as we do that. So the old man with his deeds was really the concept that the Jews had of being a perfect Jew, a model Jew, by doing the works of the law. But now they have put off that old man. They have put off the concept that we can make ourselves perfect, that we, through any kind of metaphysics, through metaphysical reasoning, by thinking right thoughts, by thinking in terms of ideas, by thinking in metaphysics, we can make ourselves perfect. That's the old way of trying to demonstrate the perfect man. So we have put that off. We are going to put it off this week and see that we have a new man. But that new man, that immortal man, that is always the outcome of the Word and the Christ. So this is the Colossians, and we can see what it is at the point of intersection. The point of intersection is, from the absolute standpoint, that we see, yes, after the Word and the Christ column, the Christianity column says, look here, then you get the perfect man. And so you can be the representative of that perfect man here on earth. But you have to accept, now comes the horizontal, but that you have to accept that new vista and go out from that new vista and not go back to the old law and to the old paradigm. Yes, so in this way we get Colossians. Then thought is leading us further, and we come to the first letter to the Thessalonians. What is the main point here in Thessalonians? Again, we can say what must be in here. We calculate now together what must be there. How can we calculate that? Say, well, it's the point of intersection between the vertical and the horizontal. It is saying, well, fundamentally, man is perfect, that's the vertical, that he is a perfect idea that can represent really God as a perfect man. But how? Now comes the horizontal, which says, only by claiming that new faith for ourselves, by making it our own, by claiming that new faith, and that will have a transforming power. That will resurrect us and will resurrect us step by step, slowly out of the old man into the new man. So he was telling that very story in his words to the Thessalonians, because after Colossians, where he had said that fundamentally we are the sons of God, then he could see that the Thessalonians were not accepting that. They were saying, yes, that's wonderful, and we believe it, but we are not going to accept it. They had those false arguments, the false attitude that nothing else had to be done, that what Paul was writing to the Colossians was a wonderful promise. And this is what the student of Christian Science also have to see. They read the textbook, or they hear a talk, or a summer school. They hear it and say, this is wonderful. So there is nothing more to be added. Yes, there is more to be added. The second horizontal, namely to make it our own, to have a true attitude, as John Dory always used to say, that fundamentally we are the Son of God, but, then came a but we have to make ourselves the sons of God. So fundamentally he said to the Colossians, man is perfect, but to the Thessalonians he said, you can't just sit down and wait until the second coming of the Christ. You have to make yourself that son of God. You have to claim that man who is perfect is your own manhood. So it is like, so to say, with the baptism of Jesus, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he told him that he was the Son of God, but Jesus didn't say, well, that's wonderful, so I wait in the wilderness until I'm translated up to heaven like Elijah. I'm going to demonstrate that I'm the Son of God. I'm going to make myself to be the Son of God. And this is the point which he reproaches the Thessalonians, that they were not claiming that faith, and that therefore they were on the wrong track, that they were drifting, and therefore drifting away from the true doctrine. And so he admonishes them for laboring, for true labor, and for true travail, not in word only, but also in power. He said you should do that. Not in word only. That was the Colossians. But in power. You see, make yourself the Son of God. Don't just say it. So constantly that turns up, that what is necessary would be labor in love, labor in patience and of hope, laboring day and night. Can you hear? This is a completely new tone that comes in. We didn't have that in all the other epistles that he was telling them, well, don't just say the words, but now and say that you are the sons of God and that you will be saved. It's the second coming of the Christ. You will all be translated up to heaven. You have to do something about it. Labor for it. Travail for it. So that the Son of God is manifested as the Son of Man. See, the Son of God, there you always spell it with a capital S, the Son of God, and make yourself the Son of Man. There, Son is not capitalized, because each one can make himself the Son of God. So that's the great story of First Thessalonians. And in showing that, he will explain through the whole epistle, he would explain that how he could claim the sonship, and that would, if they would do that, if they would labor and work, that would resurrect them, that they would experience a higher sense of manhood in their lives. So right through the 7, he tells them, well, you should be active in your faith and not just put your hands into your lap. Be active in your faith. Then you will be able to bring about the spreading of the gospel. He could see that how the Thessalonians could spread the good news, the new doctrine, was by being very active in their faith. Or he would tell them to work at labor, to have a purity of heart, and only that through a purity of heart that would bring forth something new, namely better fruits and good fruits. or you would tell them, for instance, that they should labor and show their integrity, that they are unwavering, that they are persistent, so that they have integrity, and that alone would really spread the gospel and would bring satisfaction and joy and glory for everybody. You can see he asks them really to be active in the doctrine, through that activity of the true idea of manhood, the idea can spread and spread. He said that you should be willing to undergo correction, and you should look into yourself and see what is wrong within me. You should have some kind of an introspection and a critical attitude towards you and undergo correction, because only if you undergo correction you have any chance really to resurrect yourself to a higher sense of perfection of man. What else would he say? That he says that only, yes, you should be active by striving really in the path of life. They always were very hot when they were expressing life to say there is a path of life. See, I like that, because what is the path of life? The path of life is always to go along the word order, to go along the whole word order and not miss that path, the way of life, you see. It's the word order. And he said, be active and always go through the seven, because that's a category by itself. And don't just pick out little things. Go along the word order. And if you are active in that, then you will experience that resurrection, that reformation. Namely, you will experience a higher sense of life, an exalted sense of life. Or you would tell them, you should be active by claiming your face of the perfect man. How do you do that? Be watchful. Be watchful over your consciousness. Be watchful and sober in what is your consciousness. And that will bring you to a higher level. That will be something that resurrects you, that exalts you, so that you can really achieve salvation. So can you see, in all kinds of way, he admonishes them to really take possession of their sonship, to really to see that they are the sons of God, but that they must make them the son of God, and only if they make themselves the son of God, that is the activity or the power that resurrects them and that transforms them. So foster only that which is good in you, he tells him there. And if you foster that which is good in you, then that will sanctify the whole world. And it's very interesting also then when we come to the pastoral epistle, how you would always see that finally we are working not so much for ourselves, but always that if we work for ourselves to get the higher standard of manhood, that will always have a collective and universal effect. That it is not something that just stays with us, because it's of the nature of idea, and ideas are always collective and universal. So this is the way that he is presenting First Thessalonians. He presents it without having much response to it. The Thessalonians didn't take much notice of what Paul was telling them. So when Paul was in prison in Rome, a second imprisonment, he could see that he had to write them a stronger letter, and so he was writing them the second letter of the Thessalonians. Which brings us to the second letter. What is here the point of intersection? That's now the new point. Well, what must it be? In 2 Thessalonians, we can see that it is the intersection between what? Between the perfect idea of man, or the idea of man's perfection, that this is the idea that God has in view to give man his original perfection, but how can we be triumphant over the false concept of man? How can we triumphant of what he calls really the son of perdition, the son of sin, or the son of perdition? How is that possible? Well, he has that third horizontal, and that third horizontal tells, well, you arrive at that if you are steadfastly abiding in that new faith, if you abide within it, then you will be triumphant, then you will win a victory over yourself. So we see now how we can win a victory over the mortal, over our whole mortal mentality. The Thessalonians were also of those who said, well, Paul was here and he gave us a promise of the coming of the Christ and the second coming of the Christ, and so we just wait. At that time, they were more or less sure that it was only a question of a short time until the Christ would come again, and the promise was that all who have been accepting the new doctrines then would be lifted up into heaven. And so this was a very, very difficult question for Paul to deal with, just as it was with Peter to deal with, that they could see that there was some kind of a danger in the doctrine, that they say, you know, you are saved by faith. If you have faith in the new doctrine, then the grace of God is on you, and you will be saved by faith in the Christ. And so they felt, all right, if we have faith in the Christ, that's all what is needed, and then we will be pushed into heaven. And so they just waited and had a good time until that would happen.